grandparents, aunts and uncles, cousins. We'd all get together one Saturday close to Christmas, and we'd have a big breakfast. My dad would cook eggs, if I'm remembering things correctly, and we'd have a big meal, change presents afterwards, play some games, and just have a good time. Well, I remember one year in particular, as the aunts and uncles and grandparents, they'd give all of the kids gifts. One year, I think I might have been a teenager or close to it, one of my aunts and uncles, they gave me a VHS tape. Now, you can understand, I'm talking a little ways back now. They gave me a VHS tape of how to decorate Christmas trees. You can imagine my excitement. I was just thrilled. Well, even though I was very, just so my boys know, that was sarcasm, all right? So even though I was very disappointed, like, why would they think I would like a video on how to decorate Christmas trees? Anyways, I get this gift, very disappointed, and I did like that, like I was taught to do. Smile, say thank you. I later found out from my Uncle Russell, he was wondering what weird kid I am, that I enjoyed that. You know, thankfully, I do mean this, thankfully it was a gag gift. Inside, underneath the cover of that VHS tape, was a gift card. But you know, it makes you think and consider, is just giving a smile and saying the word thank you, is that really genuine thankfulness? How should one who is genuinely thankful, how should we express that? I believe there are many different ways to express thank you. You could say thank you and genuinely mean it. Maybe there's something you do in return, like you send a card or flowers, or you say, hey, thanks, I want to take you out to dinner, and so we do it by an act. Maybe you show your appreciation for someone or something by telling others, I just got to tell you what so-and-so did. I so appreciated what he did for me. Tonight, as we gather together in the spirit of thankfulness to the Lord, you know, we've already read earlier a passage out of Psalms about being thankful to the Lord. We've even sung praises to him in thankfulness. Give thanks with a grateful heart. That's not one we sang, is it? But that's another good one. We sang songs of thankfulness to God. We've had several already who have shared testimonies of praise and thankfulness for salvation, or how God has worked or led or is blessing in this time, or how we can depend on him. In other words, there are various ways to express thankfulness to God as well. And tonight, I want to highlight from Luke 17, just in a few moments, one such example we see in Scripture that speaks towards genuine thankfulness. In Luke 17, we come to just a short passage starting in verse 11 that's dealing with 10 lepers. And we're going to see a difference in these 10 men. One is different than 9 others. Read along with me if you have a copy of God's Word. Luke chapter 17 and verse 11. On the way to Jerusalem, he was passing along between Samaria and Galilee, just so you know that he there is speaking of Jesus, all right? So this is Jesus walking between Samaria and Galilee. And as he entered a village, verse 12, he was met by 10 lepers who stood at a distance and lifted up their voices saying, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. When he saw them, he said to them, go and show yourselves to the priest. And as they went, they were cleansed. Then one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back, praising God with a loud voice, and he fell on his face at Jesus' feet, giving him thanks. Now he was a Samaritan. Then Jesus answered, were not 10 cleansed? Where are the 9? Was no one found to return and give praise to God except this foreigner? And he said to him, rise and go your way. Your faith has made you well. Tonight, as we look at here in this genuine thankfulness, we're going to see that there is something that separates this one man from all the others. You know, in verse 11 and 12, we see that 10 men were very sick. The Bible tells us here that they had leprosy. And when you have leprosy, when there are these 10 lepers, it's a disease that ate at the skin. It was a disease that would make you an outcast, a disease that you were separate from everybody. You're separate from the temple, from worship. The only people you are around are other lepers. You can't be around people. They are afraid of it. You had to stand at a distance. And even if you look here in verse number 12, it says, Jesus, as he met these 10 lepers, it says, they stood at a distance. They have a gap that they cannot go past. They have to keep a great distance. Matthew Henry, he had shared in his commentary on Luke about the seriousness of this issue for them. He says the leprosy was a disease which the Jews supposed to be, more than any other disease, a mark of God's displeasure. Here we have a very visible representation, a very visible picture of a people who not only are they sick and hurting and unhealthy, they are outcasts, and they can't even get close to Jesus. There's this gap that has to be there. And everybody would look at them saying, God must be displeased with them. They're sinners would be the idea, or at least the perception that there's something wrong with them. You know, while it doesn't say this here, and I don't necessarily think that it is referencing this, you know, it is a reminder to us of our own relationship with God. We have a sin sickness, a sin sickness that is fatal, a sin sickness that keeps us separate from God. The Bible tells us there is a gap that cannot be crossed. We are outcasts from God. Even as Brother Marvin was sharing, he said, I got saved because I didn't want to go to hell. You know, we have a problem that we cannot get to God, and that problem is our sin. But our story goes on as we see some more similarities even in our own lives. These men, they have a right idea. Look at verse 13. It says of them, they lifted up their voices saying, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. As these men come, they're not calling on Jesus to heal their disease. They're not calling on him to just wipe this out or come close to them. You know what they're asking for? Jesus, we need your mercy. We need mercy. We need grace. We need you to, there's no hope without you. They had surely heard of him and how he could heal. They had surely heard of all that he'd been doing and saying and preaching. And they come to him and say, you know, we have no hope. There's no cure for this disease. There's no hope we'll ever get back with our people. No hope we'll ever be able to worship. We're far away. And they go, Jesus, you are our only hope. We need your mercy. You know, like these men, we can also see a similarity in our own lives and our need as our sinners away from the Lord. We needed the mercy of Jesus Christ. We needed, as Romans 10:17 says, for whoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Several tonight have shared their testimony of salvation. How they were anti-God or had nothing to do with God or the surprise of God. We needed him for salvation. Well, we see a little more that happens. Look at verse 14. And when he, being Jesus, saw them, he said to them, go and show yourselves to the priest. And as they went, they were cleansed. These men, in order to get back into society, in order to be cleansed, they had to go to the priest, the one who would declare, you are clean, you are whole, you can come back. But them going, can you imagine if all of a sudden, now I'm not a Benny Hinn or anything like that, well, and I think that's another story. He doesn't really heal, okay? But can you imagine if I sat here today and said, hey, you got this disease, guess what? You just walk down that aisle and go outside and you'll be healed. Man, this place would be flocked with people, wouldn't it? If I could really do that. Here's these men. They're sitting here with leprosy. It's still on them. And Jesus, when they say, "Have mercy on us," he says, "Go and show yourselves to the priest." It's not till after they go that they are cleansed. What a step of faith that is. To step out and say, we're going to listen to what Jesus said. We're going to take his word and go. And friends, it's still, again, a similar manner. That's how salvation is. And with our, we have a sin problem. And what we have to go on is what God tells us in his word. When God says the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. We have it. It's a step of faith. We take God at his word that he would save us. We take him at his word when he said in John 3, "For God so loved the world that he sent his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life." And even some, what was that word you used, David? It was like blockheads or knuckleheads or so, even a knucklehead like me. You got, what was it? Knothead. Thank you, knothead. He would save. But look what happens here, which is really where we see the relevance for tonight. Then one of them, verse 15, when he saw that he was healed, turned back, praising God with a loud voice, and he fell on his face at Jesus' feet, giving him thanks. Now he was a Samaritan. This is what I really think this passage is about. I've given extra in the sense of where I see similarities. But this passage is really pointing us to the thankfulness of this one individual. You know, this man, as he is walking along the way, and I get the impression from reading this, it happens pretty quickly. Because how it reads, he turns back, he turns around, and he's praising with a loud voice. It seems almost immediate as they turn to walk, they're healed. And this one man, as he looks and he's healed, he turns around, he's worshiping God, and he's giving thanks. And here's the question, what happened to the others? Why did they not give thanks? Were they not thankful? I imagine they probably were. But I think the problem is maybe they get so busy, they're so excited to get to that priest and declared clean that they forget to thank the one who did it all. The one who had cleansed them, the one who had healed them, the one who had bridged that gap and allowed them to come back together, the one who was going to make it so they could go to the temple and they could worship again. And they didn't thank him. Church, I think this is a great reminder for us how we are to be thankful for what God has done. Yes, in your salvation, our sins have been forgiven. Yes, in our home of heaven, it is a guarantee as a Christian. Oh, yes, we have the Holy Spirit who guides us and directs us and helps us to understand his word. Yes, for answered prayer, as we had mentioned earlier, how God has answered prayer. We can't lose our salvation. The way that God is working in our lives and leads and guides us. Friends, we have so many reasons to be thankful. And shouldn't we, of all people, be the ones to give praise and thanksgiving to God? The ones who have been given the most. As Christians, we have the blessing of salvation, the forgiveness of sins. It's not just a physical cleansing. We have salvation. Our sins are washed away. 1 Timothy 1, 12 and 17 says this, "I thank him who has given me strength, Christ Jesus our Lord." Sorry, I didn't change that. I thank him who has given me strength, Christ Jesus our Lord, because he judged me faithful, appointing me to his service. You know, that kind of sounded like Carol as she was saying, "I thank him for all the way he gifted me to work in these ministries." And look what else Paul says. "Though formerly I was a blasphemer, a persecutor, an insolent opponent, but I received mercy because I had acted ignorantly in unbelief. And the grace of our Lord overflowed for me with the faith and love that are in Christ Jesus. The saying is trustworthy and deserving of full acceptance, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the foremost. But I received mercy for this reason, that in me as the foremost, Jesus Christ might display his perfect patience as an example to those who were to believe in him for eternal life. To the King of the ages, immortal, invisible, the only God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. Paul, as he's writing, he can give thanks because God saved him. He could give thanks from who he was to who God had changed him to be. He could give thanks that he could serve. He could give thanks that his life could be used to point others to Jesus Christ. Church, here today, I am so grateful. This is always one of my favorite services, to hear as we give praise and thanks to God, even the simple one from my little five-year-old to a I'm not going to judge how old people are, but even as old, I know one in here is, 91 years old. God is good, and it's a great time to praise him. This Thanksgiving season should be one of worship. Worship as we know Jesus Christ personally, as we have received so much from him. We of all people have something to be thankful for. And so there is a short little, I have more here, a challenge for you. One more. Look at verse 17 when it says, were not 10 cleansed? Where are the 9? Was no one found to return and give praise to God except this foreigner? Bring this up for us to remember. If there were 10 people and only one gave thanks, it makes me wonder even about those of us in our church, in our own lives, and own Christendom. How many people are truly thankful for salvation, for God's work, for victory in sin? You know, Brother Dave shared a startling statistic, and that's a scary thought. We thank God to give victory over sin. Let's make sure we're among those people who give thanks to God, that we're one of them. You know, we don't always feel very well. We don't always do very good. But we have so many reasons to give thanks to God. I hope that you'll do that, especially this time of year, but not just this time of year, all the time. God is good. I can share, even as it was mentioned earlier about my heart cath, I'll be honest with you, I thought for sure I was getting a stent put in there and was staying the night. And when the doctor says, your heart's good, you got decades with no worries there, and you know what? That is not what I expected. At the very least, I thought they would say, you need to get healthier because you got at least a partial blockage. You know, God is so good, even in simple things. That we worry about. God has it all under control. Let's have a word of prayer. Lord, we thank you. Thank you, thank you. Thank you for the cross. Thank you for your love. Thank you for the Holy Spirit and how he works in our lives. Lord, thank you in the things that seem minor and how there are so many reasons to praise you, as such as not getting lost coming here. Or Lord, thank you for the majors, the trials and the tribulations we go through, how we can come to you for wisdom and understanding. Lord, you are good, you are great, and you are worthy of all praise. And so tonight, we thank you. For in the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. Would you stand with us? Jeff's going to lead us in a song. Maybe it's a new one for you.